Thanks so much. It's such an honor to speak to my church family, and just so blessed to be here. But you know, this time of the year is almost like a new year, because for kids and college students, it's a brand new school year. So it's like starting all over again. And so at this time, what I would like to do, first of all, could everybody stand, please? No, you just sat down. Stand. Still be sitting a while there. And can I have, if you're a student of any sort, elementary, junior high, high school, college, or beyond, come on up to the front of the altar. And also, if you're a teacher, if you're an instructor, any part of education, teacher, teacher's assistant, wow, okay, professor, a coach, okay, if you're part of the education system, if you're part of the extra, whoa, okay, all right, scoot down, bigger than I thought.
Yeah, I'm right.
Obviously, we're going to hit a need here today. And we're going to bless them. We're going to impart a blessing to them.
All right, here we go.
Because, for the school year, it's a big deal. It's a transition. They're going to meet new friends. They're going to have new teachers. The teachers have new students. You know, every year is different. You gain in knowledge. You grow in wisdom. And for the college students, you know, you pay a lot of money to go to school to get an education. So you want to gain everything you can from that, because God is leading and directing your career path through your education. And it's opening up doors of destiny for you. Whoa, okay, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's start praying. We have, as you can see, there's so many here that are in the education system, from students to teachers to instructors. And God is just, I'm just praying a blessing over them. Father, I thank you for each one. I pray for your anointing to watch over them, to keep them, to protect them on every campus, Father, on every schoolhouse, God, on every elementary school, junior high school, college campus, Father. I pray for your blessing over them, God. I pray for your protection. I pray you send your angels to be guardians around the campuses, Father. Keep them from evil. I thank you for Psalm 91, that you're protecting them. You're keeping them in the very shadow of your wings, Father. Thank you for that. I bless their lives. I thank you this year is going to be an amazing year, Father, for each one. For the children, they're going to grow like Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I thank you for supernatural knowledge, God, that they would just have revelation, God. Even beyond what their teachers are teaching them, God. That, God, that the subject is hard, that, Father God, you're going to help them overcome and grasp those difficult concepts. Thank you, Father God, that any place where there's learning blocks, you're going to remove them. Any place where there's learning disabilities, you're going to lift them. You're going to heal them, God. God, I thank you for each one. I pray that you would give them amazing friendships, God, amazing relationships, God. I pray that they would be the positive peer pressure on their campus, God. God, that they would be the leaders, not the followers, God. They would set a righteous standard, Father. I thank you for that. I pray that the athletes would excel. I pray that the students would be student government leaders, God, that you would use their leadership gifts and just employ them, God. Thank you, God, that they're going to be witnesses. They're going to be evangelists on their campuses. They're going to tell their friends and their teachers. Father, I pray for the teachers, that you would give them grace. You would give them great grace for their school year, for every student, that you would help and give them keys to the hearts of teaching every student that's in their classrooms. Father, I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the wisdom that comes from heaven. We just bless them with the blessings from God. We thank you for them. We thank you for the teachers who have been called to a noble calling of teaching and education, and we bless them. We thank them for standing in the gap. We thank them for educating our children, God. We thank them, God. Thank you. We just bless them. We bless every college student, God. I pray for a radical revival across the street, God, Cal State San Marcos. We pray your blessing over Palomar and MiraCosta. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for all the world changers, God, that you're training in ways of righteousness. We just pray you would release them. Let it be an explosive school year this year, God. I pray that they would not be shy in their classrooms, but they would speak up and make their faith known. I thank you for that, God. God, use them to be atmosphere changers. Every classroom they're at, we just release it in the name of Jesus. We release your blessing. Amen?
Amen.
You can go to your classrooms. Wow. I'm amazed. All these amazing little world changers. Whoa. I think it's... You know, every school year is so important to every child and teacher. And I know that the memories they have and, you know, a school year can make or break a year for the kids, and they can gain great things or they can be torn down in their school year. So we're just going to pray God's blessing covers them throughout this year. And we thank the teachers because we know it's a sacrifice. But we thank them because they're just changing the world through them. So thank you. You know, this morning, what I want to talk about is becoming a hero in the house. And I just feel like right now, if you notice, there's such a common theme in society. If you've been to the movies anytime recently or in the media, there's just a huge superhero theme, right? And I like it. I enjoy it. I go to see some of those. It's great. And, you know, everyone seems to have their favorites, right? And name some of the superheroes that you see in the movies. Thor, okay.
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Batman.
Hulk. Captain America, Ant. That is a new one to me. The Ant. Okay. Hardly superhero, but I guess he is. I haven't seen it yet. Are there any girl heroes? Or heroines? Wonder Woman. Wasp. Okay. I don't know some of these. Okay. I know there are because there are superhero women. So anyway, but you can see it's an incredibly popular theme. I think they're tapping a need in society. And I was doing a little research on this. There's people that actually study this, and they talked about it. And part of the reason I think we're seeing such a, you know, invasion of the superheroes is because in a world that's deeply troubled, people are looking for someone like that, like to rescue them, who's willing to be there for them, who is an alt, you know, that's willing to be there no matter what. You know, for believers, obviously God is our superhero, right? You know, he's the one that's there through thick and thin and sees us and rescues us. But, you know, there's just that common human need to believe in a savior, right? You know, and so I think they're just tapping into that in the media. So, you know, in society and media, we often see athletes and celebrities, and they're treated like they're superheroes. You know, they're on all the tabloids and the, you know, the shows and all that, because to many people, they're the closest thing to a perfect human. But all you have to do is, you know, kind of watch their lives and recognize they're put on these pedestals, but they're human and they're flawed. And, you know, a lot of times they disappoint people. And so we should never confuse a celebrity with a hero, because they're not the same. You know, heroes symbolize qualities that we would like to possess ourselves. You know, things like courage and honor and justice and strength and the things that we think are right, you know, so that's, it resonates with our soul when we see that. And when I was looking up the information, hero actually comes from an ancient Greek word. And for them, a hero was a mortal. It was not like superhuman. It was just a mortal person. But they had done something far beyond the normal scope of human experience. And they left an immortal memory behind when they died. So in other words, they left an impact and they left a legacy. You know, and that's what a hero is. So for thousands of years, we've seen and we've heard these heroic stories that are used to inspire us, motivate, and even transfer our cultural values to our kids.
you know, and parents love to read stories about heroes and things like that. But there's a common theme in these hero stories that's kind of, you can see this thread throughout. Usually there's some likable hero, and they face a challenge or a roadblock in their life. And then with the help of others, they overcome this, and out of this situation, they emerge from a difficult situation, transformed by their experience, and they become the heroes, right? And David, a man named actually Joseph Campbell, studied about heroes and superheroes and things like that, and he was a renowned mythologist and author of The Hero with a Thousand Faces, and he believed that we create heroes and myths out of our own human experiences, and he said the reason we do that is to remind us that nothing is impossible. So they inspire us, right? When we face life's challenges, when we draw on those heroic stories for the inspiration to help us persevere through our own personal obstacles and roadblocks, right? Yep. We look for that for encouragement. Heroes have a way of showing us to overcome life's challenges through a variety of character strengths and virtues. And you know, I just want to propose that we are the heroes for children. And that children need heroes. They need heroes. You know, children need role models and heroes to emulate for identification and for their own identity. They look for somebody to model. Now, this is good news. Parents, you are your number one children's role model and hero. So that is awesome because they will first look to you for your decision-making, your problem-solving, your healthy risk-taking. They look to their parents as their first role model. And, you know, parents, we can't abdicate that responsibility or delegate it to anybody else. That's squarely put on our shoulders by God. We have a stewardship to be that. But we know that we're not the only ones that bring influence to our kids' lives, right? There's a variety of role models and heroes in their life. And usually the ones that the child admires most are the ones they regularly interact with, you know, grandparents and kids, teachers at school or you know, kids' church, different places they're going to find their heroes they're going to look up to. But I can say this, and I think that you could agree with me on this, that it's a sad to know that not all families do this well in this regard, and certainly our media and society doesn't necessarily show the most praiseworthy heroes. They often emphasize the violent, the immoral, the provocative, right? The indulgent, the selfish, as objects of attention in the media. And then for our youth, they become the ones they model after. As I looked in, I saw director Spike Lee was saying this, that he was actually lamenting and saying, he said, you know what, when he grew up, his role models were the civil rights leaders. He said, but nowadays, the role models are the gangster raps, you know, the strippers, the pimps and stuff like that. And he was sad. He was saddened by the fact that he was looking for healthy role models and heroes in society to meet that need, to someone to emulate their lives after. You see, children look up and they're going to model their identity after the role models they see. And I just want to say that as long as we have these human needs, and it's a real need, it's time for leaders and role models to stand up and be counted. You know, it's time. It's time. And I have a scriptural remedy or answer for this vacuum in society. And it's out of Psalm 16, verse 3. Psalm 16, verse 3, in the New Living Translation. I love this. It says this, "The godly people in the land are my true heroes. Yes. I take pleasure in them." Yeah. Look at, you don't have to be famous to be a hero. You don't have to be famous. You may never be famous, but you still can be a hero to someone.
Yeah.
You know, anyone can come in, attend church. It's awesome. But I believe it takes a special hero to be a hero in the house. And when I say the house, I'm talking the house of God. The godly in the land will be my heroes. I think heroes in God's house give children a godly example to follow and model their behavior after. You know, I just want to really commend our children's church here. And there have been different leaders over the years that have led the children's church ministry, but they've always done it with such a passion and a heart for the kids. And it's always been transmitted to them. And there was one, a couple that led it for many years, Cheryl and Ray Rodriguez, and they just poured their lives into it and into the kids. And some of the kids that are here today, grown kids, were actually trained under them in children's church and were blessed through their ministry. And the Lord gave them a special verse for kids' church, and it was Psalm 78, and it says this: "Tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done, so that the next generations would know them, even the children not yet born, that they would in turn teach their children, that they would trust in God and not forget his deeds, but keep his commandments." Do you see there's this like generational blessing that's passed from one generation to the next generation? And they trained the kids. And later when I took children's church ministry as an overseer of it, I was just praying about God, just, you know, just what are you speaking? What are you saying? And I felt the Lord gave me that very same verse out of Psalm 78. And I didn't even realize it was the very psalm that God had given Cheryl and Ray when they led that, because there's a generational blessing. And honestly, in this house, I've seen that generational blessing being passed down. I've seen it from Dan O'Dash and Debbie to Danielle O'Dash, and now Danielle O'Dash is discipling kids, youth, and children. And it's just such a blessing. I've seen that time after time. Janice West serving in kids' church, and then Sarah was raised here, and now Sarah is pouring back in. And in the Arnold family, multiple generational blessings, seeing they were brought up here, and now they're training and teaching the next generation. See, that's what happens when the generational blessing gets continued in a house. It just keeps going. It's so beautiful. First of all, I want to say that you can be a hero in God's house. And I believe actually serving in kids' church is an amazing way to be a hero in God's house. And, you know, Mark 9:37 says this: "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And this is Jesus speaking, talking about the importance of kids. And then I love this verse in Mark 10:13-14. And in my Bible, it says, Jesus blesses the little children. That's the caption above this portion. It says this: "Then they brought little children to him that they might touch him. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them." Now, I find sometimes as Christians, we relate sometimes more to the disciples than to Jesus. Sometimes I feel like we're guilty of the same mistakes they make. Seriously, like we don't think the kids are important. Like, okay, let's get to the real important ones, the adults, and kids shoo away, let's, you know. But that was not Christ's heart at all. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Greatly displeased. I don't know if we did that in modern translation. It might be Jesus was ticked off. Jesus was torqued. Jesus was mad, you know. Pretty much, he wasn't happy about the disciples' response to children. And he said, no. "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for as such is the kingdom of God." Of such is the kingdom of God. You know, I have such a heart for kids and children. And I just felt like even as I was preparing this message, honestly, I was weeping. And my heart just in a way, because I just know how much God loves children. Jesus really, really loves kids. And I hope you capture the heart of it, because if you have a different view, even if your view is maybe like one of the disciples, let's make an attitude adjustment and gain the heart that Jesus has for kids. You know, this verse was so real to me just recently. Within weeks ago, this verse is like, wow, just hit me. We were blessed. We went to Africa. We did missions. We did crusades. We did pastor's training. It was amazing. And one night at a crusade out in the bush, it was a very remote village where the gospel was brand new. No church, just brand new there, brand new. Christians had just started reaching that group when we had gotten there. And we had ignited a crusade. We had 100, this is a village of 500, I would say, 500 plus. That night, we had a crusade. We had 150 people. That was a huge part of that village, that unreached village, came out to the crusade. And we gave an altar call, and we prayed, and people got saved, and kids got saved, and it was just awesome. But then we had a line for healing and prayer. And so people came up, and God, we prayed for healing, and God was just moving in wonderful ways of healing. But then I look, and I see Pastor Daniel, like, on his knees, praying for people. And what had happened was this. Everyone who had come up for healing had already received their healing or whatever. But there was a line at least 30 feet deep, if not longer, 30 feet, of parents bringing their kids to be blessed. And he was just praying for one after another. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And I just realized, like, it made, like, the Bible just leap out of the pages to me and come alive to me. Like, oh my goodness, this is what happened when Jesus ministered. The parents were so moved that they brought their kids to be blessed. It's like, I got it. Like, I got it. Like, I know it, but I got it this time, right? The revelation hit me that we have the chance to impart blessings to kids. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really important. It's really important to God. And I just saw him bless child after child. And later, I was in a church, and we had a prayer time, and people came up to be prayed for, pastors and different leaders, and we prayed for him. And I prayed for this one man, and I just felt a fireball of God just, like, go in his belly. And he was just overtaken with the Holy Spirit. It was just amazing. And he just truly was touched by God. And so it was a blessing. Just God did a download on him. But then later, at the end of the meeting, he comes up with his child in his arms, just cradled in his arms. And I'm thinking, oh, that his child must be sick. He just wants me to pray, you know, healing for the child or whatever. And so I said, is your child ill with something? He said, no, I just want you to pray and bless them. And so then I just prayed and just prayed a blessing. And it's like, you know, I'm getting it. You know, after this many years, I'm getting it. Jesus wants to bless kids. And we can impart a blessing. And it's so valuable. It's tangible. It's transferable when we bless kids. You know, Matthew 18, verses 3 through 5 says this, "And assuredly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives a little child like this in my name receives me." Oh, if you receive a child, you're receiving Christ, you know? And I realized that looking at the scriptures, and if you do a study yourself, I think you'll discover the same thing, is that a huge part of Jesus' ministry was to children. In fact, maybe many, of the miracles I see in the Gospels involve children. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's a good one. He raised a widow's son. He healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. He healed a demonized child that was running in the fire and trying to commit suicide. Then he just blessed and taught them. Even when you look at the Beatitudes, and when the feeding of the 5,000, they'll often say this. They'll often say, and Jesus fed 5,000, and that excluded women and children. So it was just the men, right? But the kids were there. They were present there as well. And so I'm thinking, every time I see Jesus, he gives examples of children as a model of our faith, of a model of humility. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm coming away thinking Jesus was a children's pastor. What do you think? Looks like it to me. I don't know. But I know that kids matter to Jesus. That's, I guess, the bottom line, what I'm trying to say and impart. And, you know, looking again through scriptures as I was doing this study on heroes, I see another hero listed in the Bible. And it was in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Judges, and it's Gideon. And here's how God addresses him in Judges 6:12 in the New Living Translation. It says this, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, which is with Gideon, the Lord is with you. And then here comes his retort back, but Lord, it's not the right way to start with God. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. I would say he had a pretty low self-esteem to me. I'm weakest, I'm the least, you know. See, Gideon himself did not see him how heaven saw him. He did not see himself as a hero. In his own eyes, he was not a hero, he was a zero, right? But he felt like he was the weakest and the least, but heaven saw him differently. They said, they saw a hero within him that he didn't see him himself. And in fact, heaven called forth that greatness within him. And you might be here today and you say, you know what, I don't feel like a hero to anybody. You know, I'm a very ordinary person. But you know, you don't know how heaven sees you. Because heaven sees the greatness in you and heaven wants to call it out of you. You know, there's a quote and it says this, to the world, you might be one person, but to one person, you might be the world. Your life impacts others in a great way, far more than you ever realize. It's like pebbles in the water and the waves go out. And you don't know how far out your influence, your impact goes. Bill Wilson quoted that. And Bill Wilson worked in the slums of New York City, ministering to kids, sidewalk, Sunday school. And he lifted so many kids out of poverty, abject poverty, because he showed them the love of Christ. And he showed them a better way to live their lives. And he lived that quote out. Luke 9:48 says this, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great. I think that's like how Gideon saw himself. He saw himself as least, and God said, you're a hero. Amazingly, later we see in Hebrews 11, in the what I call the hall of fame of heroes, he made it, you know? Ooh, you got your name in the book, right? Hebrews 11:32, it says, what more shall I say, for time would fail me, of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and all the prophets. And then I'm skipping down. It says, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Okay, now that's New King James, but I always liked the way that said that, an army of aliens. My mind just wanders like, what did that look like? Aliens, cool. A little sci-fi going on there. So, but you know, God saw Gideon as a hero, and he made it to the Hall of Fame. But the reason he did is because he made an impact on eternity. And I want to tell you of an unlikely hero that I knew in my life. As you know, I was a school teacher for many years. God called me to ministry when I was 17, but when I became college age and I was trying to figure out my major, he told me to go into education. So I just followed and obeyed him in that. And I got trained in to be a school teacher, got my education. And I see now how God has used that over the years to complement the calling. Not, it didn't take away, but and I feel that teaching is a very noble calling. You know, every time I look in the Bible, Jesus was referred as a teacher. And so I know sometimes in society, teachers don't get the recognition or the credit they deserve, but they deserve honor because they have an honorable calling. But there was one unlikely hero I knew of. Her name was Mrs. Willoughby. She was a widow. She was maybe in her 60s, possibly 70s. She, bless her heart, she was... She, you know, had little spectacles. She had a really tight, like, bun in her hair. She had a dress that went down through her legs and, you know, all the way down to here. And she just pretty much was kind of a, she looked a little bit like a spinster, so to speak. But this woman was a first grade teacher. And she made it her personal goal that every school year, that every student that sat in her classroom, she was going to minister to them and bring them to know the Lord as their Savior. And over the years, she did that. And many, many kids came to know the Lord as their Savior through Mrs. Willoughby. And I noticed one time I was at the high school graduation at that particular school I taught at, and the valedictorian came to give their speech. And when they came to give their speech, they just wanted to thank all the people that impacted their life. And they just said, as their special tribute, they wanted to thank Mrs. Willoughby, because Mrs. Willoughby had led them to the Lord, and not only them, but their parents, to God. Wow. You see, her personal goal became someone else's hero, because she cared enough to see that their souls got into heaven, and they never forgot her throughout all their career. You know, I taught kindergarten at a school one time, and you know, you think kindergartners, you know, they have 12 years of school past kindergarten, right? And, you know, they have many teachers, many role models. But I remember later, one of the students I had taught nominated me, like, for Teacher of the Year, and it really touched my heart, and it's like, wow. And then later at a school, when I left that particular school, it was a public school, and they had layoffs and this and that happened, but they gave me a clock and it said that I had left my heart prints on their school. Not my hand prints, but my heart prints. In other words, I think God wants us to leave our heart prints on the people that we touch. That he wants us to make an impact. And you may never fully know the impact you make, because sometimes it takes 12 years, 20 years, 30 years later to see some of those seeds grow. But I believe they grow. And, you know, Your life counts, and the legacy you're creating is amazing, especially when you plant the seed of the gospel in somebody's heart. Because the Bible says the seed of the gospel is incorruptible, indestructible. And I think about that. Wow, that is planted in the human heart. It grows. It grows. You know, I heard a story, and it was a true story, that they undug the grave or the tomb of a pharaoh. And when they did, they lifted some of the stuff up and they, you know, discovered some of the things that was in the grave. And they found seeds. Now the seeds had to be over 2,000 years old, just seeds that were in there. And the scientists were kind of curious and they said, oh, I'm wondering what we could do with this. Let's do an experiment. So they literally planted the seed, and to their surprise, they germinated and they grew. And I thought to myself, now that is a natural seed. A natural seed grew after 2,000 years. What? There's power in a seed. There's power. How much more power in the indestructible, incorruptible seed of the Word of God when it is planted in a human heart. Yes. That goes on not for this lifetime, but for eternity. Do you see that? The seeds that are planted in the hearts of people. You know, God in his plan and purposes chooses unlikely heroes to fulfill his purpose. In fact, he called out a shepherd boy on the backside of a pasture who was ministering to lambs. Right? That was his calling right there. But God called him a hero. In Psalm 89, verse 18 through 19, in the Message, it says this: a long time ago, you spoke in a vision, and you spoke of your beloved, your faithful beloved. I've crowned a hero. I chose the best I could find. I found David, my servant, and I poured my holy oil on his head. And I will keep my hand steadily on him, and I will stick to him through thick and thin. And I think to myself, you know what? He was a young man at this point in time. But I believe that some of the heroines and heroes in the Christian faith are young people. I don't think you have to wait till you're old to become a hero. I think you can be a hero as a teenager. Because it's not an age or maturity thing. It's a faith and it's a heart thing that makes you a hero. I see right now, even in kids' church, I see Danielle O'Dash, and she's teaching the younger ones. I see Cole DiCarlo, and he's teaching the younger ones. It's like the generational Y is teaching the generation Z, right? They're not waiting until they're all grown up. They're doing it now. The youth are imparting to the young people, and the college are imparting to the youth. And I just see that transfer of generational blessings and teaching and training each other in the ways of righteousness. Just powerful. And the Bible talks about King David, that his tomb was right next to a place called the House of Heroes. And this is in the Message. Nehemiah 3:16 says this: and after him came Nehemiah, And he worked just from in front of the tomb of David, as far as the pool, and as far as the house of heroes. Isn't that interesting? The Old Testament had a house of heroes. I believe the modern day house of heroes is the church. That's what I believe. I believe the church is where godly heroes are found. You know? So good. Becoming a hero is really important for children to have that role model and someone to emulate after. You know, recently, among the top 10 Christian leaders that was named, I think Christianity Today came out with something, they listed a woman named Heidi Baker. And I think about Heidi Baker, her life, her ministry, but I have to tell you, she probably spends 90% of her time among children. The miracles, the things, the salvation, all that happens is among the children. And I've seen it myself in different countries and nations. I've seen how open children are to the gospel. It is a ripe, ripe harvest field for God. And, you know, today I just want to say that you can be a hero too. And I just want to ask you, will you answer the call and engage and be a hero in the house? You know, we need the godly to become those role models, those heroes to our kids. In the Bible, in John 21:15, Jesus spends time and he restores Peter after Peter had denied him three times. And three times he restores him. But the very first time that he restores him, he says this to him. So when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." I think that's interesting. He starts there and then later he says, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." But I think that God cares about feeding the lambs, teaching children, training them. And I can tell you one thing, the harvest field is great. It's great. It's wide to harvest. Luke 10:2 says this, when he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." I see a vast harvest field of children. I can't tell you how open their hearts are to the gospel. They're wide open to the gospel. And I believe when you plant the incorruptible seed of the Word of God in their hearts, that it changes their life and destiny forever. Forever. You know, I've had the opportunity to teach school and to substitute teach, and I've gone into classrooms and shared the Word of God. And, you know, even as a substitute teacher, I thought, I have an opportunity with this class of children. I'm just going to share the faith with them. And just see, and I've had them respond in a 100% altar call in classrooms. It can happen because their hearts are so open to the gospel. They're not cynical. They're not, you know, full of unbelief. They're ready for the seeds of the gospel. And, you know, it's just so amazing. I just want to encourage you that who is going to train our kids, their hearts and their spirits? Who will be the ones? You know, if the church does not train and reach the minds and hearts of kids, it will be the world by default. And I look about, I look in, you know, the different the media and stuff like that, and the society. And, you know, in our day and age, in the Old Testament, you had all the ites of the land. Well, now I think we have all the isms. We have humanism and atheism and hedonism and secularism. And all these things, paganism, hedonism, relativism, all these isms that are fighting for the minds of children, the philosophies of this age. But God wants to give them the plumb line of truth, which is the Word of God. They need it. They need it as a standard of righteousness that they can model their life upon. And we're the ones that get the privilege and the honor to shape the next generation. We have the power to leave an impressionable impact, an eternal impact on a human soul, and that's kids. And it will change him for a lifetime. You know, it's so amazing. In Isaiah 61, in verse 4, it says this, "And they shall rebuild old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair ruined cities and the desolation of many generations. These are those who are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the way that we minister and we repair the cities and the generations is by ministering to the kids. And then we see a shift, we see a change. And it's so, so powerful. You know, growing up in different ways, I've just poured my heart in so many ways. My heart has been so big for kids. And as I was saying, that I was a school teacher for many years. And during my time, I was getting my education. I got my master's degree in education. And I focused in on early childhood. And I realized during the early childhood years that they are some of the most impressionable years in a child's life. Like from like birth to like 8 years old, super impressionable for their moral development. And if we don't reach them, well, it's very critical we do reach them. Because 80% of Christians become a Christian before they're 18. Now, I know some of you are statistics that you receive Christ after that fact, but from age 4 to 14 is a target window. And I believe the enemy is targeting that generation. And I think the church needs to be strategic, that we pour our lives into reaching and training and reaching our kids for eternity. So, so important. You know, Reinhard Bonnke says that God uses mortal hands to build his eternal kingdom. In other words, God uses us to make a difference, to change worlds and situations by reaching the next generation. So this morning, as I've been sharing about children's ministry and about reaching the next generation, not just about children's ministry, but being a hero in the house and making an impact, making your life count by reaching someone else's life, I just want to share a little bit about the vision of our kids' children's ministry here. And I want to just share that, number one, we're child-focused. That means because kids matter to Christ, they matter to us, and we're going to teach and promote ministry to their children and the families at Summit. Another thing is child evangelism. We're committed to believe that every child that passes through the classes can receive Christ as their Savior. And we're going to give them an opportunity to know Christ at an early age. And that bringing the gospel to every creation includes our kids. And then spiritual growth. We're committed to partner with families to ensure the spiritual development of children so that they may better know and serve God and love God. That's so important. So with that vision in mind, I'm just encouraging you this morning to engage, to step up to the plate in that area. And I want to acknowledge some heroes in our own house this morning. First, I want to just share, and they might not be present because they're probably upstairs serving, but even if they're not present, will you please give them a round of applause after I finish? Carol Vay in Adventure Club, Anna Mesa, Kristen Cassie, Art, Sarah West, Kathy Miller, Jen Bowman, Ben, all of these. And there's a host of teachers also. Those are just the department heads, but there's a host of teachers who have taught and blessed and imparted blessing to our kids. And I also just want to show a clip of some heroes in the house this morning. Can you show that?
Sarah, and I've been coming to Summit Christian Church since I was 4 years old. It's kind of been a while, and it's amazing. I loved every moment of it. I've seen huge changes, but I know one of the most constant things have been in our kids' church. And one of the first people I remember is Dano Dash. Dano Dash just being so humble and being crazy, like Dano Dash coming into the church. He was just always hyper. He was always happy to see us. And he always had this undying love for us that it didn't matter what we did, like before we came into church, he always just loved us no matter what. And it was just amazing to see that just from a family's point where my dad necessarily didn't come to church and my mom did, and just to see a father in the church to be able to step in for that. And I was just able to kind of see father's love just in a more personal level. Like I knew about God's love, but I was actually able to see it in action. And I know I'm not supposed to say this, but Pastor Daniel and Pastor Teresa were definitely just my spiritual parents, just constantly. I remember seeking for a marriage, like seeking for a partner in my marriage. I knew I wanted a marriage like theirs. And they definitely have, they set a standard for me that I want to live by.
When I think about heroes in the house of God, I think of everyone from Children's Church all the way up to college ministry. I think of Cheryl Rodriguez and Trey Arnold and my parents up in Kids Church. And I think of Pastor Andrew, and he's probably the biggest hero to me and how he's really just led by example in every area of his life and discipling me a lot and in giving me all the tools I need to do worship step and all the tools I need to lead youth and to really connect with people exactly where they are and to relate with them. And I just think that it's been such a great foundation for me to be able to have 21 years at Summit. So I'm just thankful to the Lord.
Hi guys, I'm John. And today I'm here to talk about heroes in the house. Now, my first is, everybody knows him, Pastor Daniel, stands behind the pulpit, amazing man of God. The reason why he's been such a hero in the house and a hero in my life is because when I was young, I mean, I've been in church since I was 2 years old, 23 years old now. So I think like 21 years in this church, and literally Pastor Daniel has been one of the people to really like push me and to believe in me even when I didn't believe in myself. From a young age, he's always called me Pastor John. Wow. And I think of it kind of like Batman and Robin, like he saw the gift inside me, took it over his wing,
cool.
And he kept calling me out.
He's calling out of here.
Second would be Dan and Debbie O'Dash. I love them to death. They're amazing parents in the house. If you do not know them, you need to know them. And they were head over Kids Church when I was in Kids Church. That was way back. But I mean, they've always been such joyful people, and it always made you wonder, like, why were they so happy? You know? But they've always expressed such love and joy, and it always made you feel welcomed. It always made you feel at home. It always made you feel like you were a part of what was happening, and I love it. And I mean, they have constantly loved me and pushed me to do things that step me outside of my own comfort zone. And last but not least, Anna Mesa, one of the first people who actually called me out to do Children's Church. And I promise you, it is one of the most rewarding things I have ever done in my life. It is the best. You build so much community. You build so much just joy and love with the children and then even with their families. So you should get involved in Kids Church and become a hero in the house.
Come on.
Yeah, thank you, John. Come on. You're all beautiful. You're all God's kids. And Jesus loves you as much as he loves an infant or a toddler. You will never outgrow being God's child. He loves you so much. And this morning, speaking mostly to believers, but I want to give an opportunity. If there's someone in the house this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to meet the Savior and make the best decision of your life. And can we bow our heads for a moment, please? And if you do not know for sure that you're saved or that you're going to heaven, that you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and your Savior, would you raise your hand this morning and acknowledge, say, yes, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to know that I'm forgiven. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, yes, that's me. I want to know that I'm saved this morning. Anyone? Anyone? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this amazing group of believers, God. I love them so much. I thank you for them. And Father, I pray this morning that their hearts were touched, God, that you just rekindled that within them, the hero within. Father, I call it forth in the name of Jesus. I call forth the gold within them, God, all the giftings, all the blessings, all the spiritual gifts, all the natural gifts that you have given them, the wisdom, the revelation, God. God, just the different ways you have individually handcrafted them to be your unique expression on this earth. I thank you that they are heroes, God.
I just bless their lives, Father. I bless their lives. I thank you how they are impacting others around them. Thank you, Father God, that they never realize the persons that are watching their lives, that are imitating their lives, that are looking up to them as a role model example of godly heroes in this land. And I thank you for them. And Father, I pray that you would just encourage each one. And I thank you for those who are already serving in Kids Church. Father, I thank you for those who are yet to serve in Kids Church. God, I pray that this morning even that you would tug on their hearts, that those who have been, the Holy Spirit, you've already been speaking to them. I pray that they respond to the call. And those who are serving in other areas, I thank you, Father God, because in this house, we're a mosaic where all the parts are fit jointly together. And Father, not every part has the same gifting or gift mix. So I thank you, Father, how you have intricately put each part in its place. I thank you, Father, as each part functions, God, that we'll grow up to the full stature of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for each one, and I bless them with the blessings of the Lord. I thank you for them. Father, I just thank you for the heroes that they are. I thank you, Father God, where they've been holding back in fear or intimidation. I pray that you would make them bold on the inside, God. I pray that their lives would make such an impact in every sphere of influence, every workplace, every school place, God, every place where they go. I pray that they would leave their heart prints on other people's lives and leave a legacy, God, a godly legacy to impact the next generation. I bless them with the blessings of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.